Good to be with you in Havant this morning. Hello. As Guy said, my name's Johnny. I'm one of the leaders here at Grace Church, and it's just so good to be in Havant. Normally, you'll find me in by the sea in Bognor. We're having a, like you, we have just come back to meet in Insights, and it's just so good to be back together singing, just loving it. This morning, I'm going to be continuing our series that we have started over the summer called Prayers of the Saints. We're looking at New Testament prayers that weren't Jesus's, and we're looking at those and how they can encourage us in our own prayer lives. So I'm just continuing that this morning. I'm going to be in 3 John. So if you have a Bible or the app, if you look for that, it's a very small book in the Bible. It's about a page long. It's right near the back. So if you go Revelation and work that way, it's probably easiest. If you're anywhere near Genesis, you're probably in the wrong place. So I'm going to be reading that in a moment. I just want to say I love this book. This book in the Bible is so full of affection. It's so full of a love that John has for a very close friend to him and his church. And I just love the affection that comes across. So let's read this together. We're only reading a small section about the part where John is saying what he has prayed for. So it says this, from verse 1 to verse 4. The elder, so that's John himself, to my dear friend Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, just as you are progressing spiritually. It gave me great joy when some believers came and testified about your faithfulness in the truth, telling me how you continue to walk in it. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. It's a short little bit, but it's good stuff. I think there are moments in our lives when we go somewhere or we say something that we shouldn't have. So when I was in primary school, there was a tree, or I can't remember if it was a tree or a bush or something, and it had stinging nettles all around it, and we were like, you shouldn't go there. They told us you shouldn't be going over there. And this was like the point at which Conkers were phasing out as well, like the game of Conkers where you used to put them on string, you used to hit them, and then they had to wear goggles, and then they were just like, you can't play Conkers anymore. Ridiculous health and safety. But that was the scenario that we have there. And obviously, as I was probably like 7 or 8, obviously I went behind the bush and we played Conkers. Unfortunately, we got caught, and I lost my break time for a whole week. Like, I think that's pretty severe for the crime, and obviously it still haunts me to this day. But what I wanted to just go down memory lane for was John, in this passage, goes to a place which we sometimes feel is restricted, that we feel, oh, I shouldn't really be praying for that. We might feel a little bad praying for these things, and that is praying for stuff to go well, praying for some good stuff in our lives. So off the bat, I just want to tell you this morning, we have permission from God to ask for things to go well in our lives. We have it, we see it throughout the Psalms, we hear Jesus saying it. We have permission from God to ask for things to go well in our lives. It's okay to ask that. And this passage, John in this passage, he's not talking like Paul does in some of his, and he's just written out his prayer. He's just saying, oh, this is what I have been praying for. We see, it's like we come to a door and we look through the keyhole and we can see a glimpse of what John is praying for in that moment. And we can see that he is praying for what seems like a no-go area, that restricted area that we're not meant to be praying for. He is praying for this. He is praying that all may go well with you. This passage is so helpful at seeing that it is okay for us to pray for things, for good stuff in our lives. I'm not meaning a Ferrari. I'm not meaning that. I'm meaning that we can enjoy life, and that life doesn't just become a disaster. It's okay to pray for that. And so I want to encourage you that that you can ask God for things to go well in your life. But this morning I want to unpack it. I want to unpack the how, the why, and the what around praying this. So how do I pray that all may go well? What am I actually praying in that? And why it's a good thing to pray for? Why should I be praying this? So first of all, the how. How should we pray? We should pray this prayer of that it may go well, aware of our sinful nature. We should pray aware that God might know better than us. We need to be aware that our prayers and our desires are able to combine our sin with good, righteous intentions. We can combine those when we are praying. We may think something we are asking God for will help, but later on, if God were to grant it, we would go, oh, why? And we would realise that we were wrong. I don't know if you've seen the film Bruce Almighty. In Bruce Almighty, Jim Carrey plays a guy who who's like God for a day. And he experiences what it's like to be God for a day. And there's this moment he gets all these prayer requests that comes through on his email, and he's got like 3 billion emails. He's like, well, I can't answer all of these. So he just says yes. He answers yes to every single prayer request that comes through. And then he turns on the telly to discover that like everybody who's prayed for them to win the lottery has won the lottery. And so nobody wins the lottery. They just win like 10p. It doesn't work. And his good intention of, oh, it'd be nice for them to win the lottery, actually is incorrect, because he didn't have the mind of God. So we need to be aware that our prayers, our desires can combine our sin with our good intentions. But we also need to pray in a way that aligns ourselves to the will of God. We need to align ourselves to God's will. Look at what John prays. I pray that you enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, just as you are progressing spiritually. He doesn't separate his ask of God from growth and enjoying God. They are combined together. So the question then remains, how do I pray? So how do I pray that all may go well in a way that fits my desires and his will? How can I put those together? Well, honestly, if we are truthful, we don't know. We don't have the mind of God. We don't fully know that. But J.I. Packer helpfully writes this: we should lay before God as part of our prayer the reasons why we think what we ask for is the best. If he wills something different than what we are asking, we know it will be better and the best we could think of that we really want him to do. It's a helpful, practical explanation. It's not meaning we're running down a list and saying Ferrari because I like cars. It's not that, but it's instead we are looking at the request we are making to God in saying that all may go well in the light of Scripture, in the light of what does the Bible say about Christian life, in the light of salvation and how salvation works, and then also in the light of what he wants for this world. When we are praying that all may go well, even in a state of desperation, if we are using this as a way of when we are aligning ourselves to God's will, and we are aware that actually we might combine our sinfulness with our good intentions, if we are aware of that when we are praying, even in a desperate place, praying that all may go well. It reshapes our hearts. It helps to reorientate our hearts. So that's the how. What about the what? What does it mean to pray that all may go well? Well, the first thing to spot is that John is not praying for himself. We so instantly think that we pray this for ourselves more than anything else. No, but he prays, all may go well with you. Not with me, but with you. He prays for his friend. He is praying for his friend's church. He is praying for them rather than himself. How often do you pray that all may go well for yourself rather than for others? It's an uncomfortable question, I think. I know I pray for things to go well in my life, which is fine. I'm not saying that we can't do that. But what I'm saying is sometimes we might avoid praying the same for others. We avoid praying that things go really well for somebody else. As well as being more about others than ourselves, this prayer that all may go well with you is a big, meaty prayer. Much more than we realise. We need to remember we're looking through the keyhole at John's prayer life. He's just giving a summary of something that he might pray for. And so what is it that he's actually praying for? Because we use this phrase more than we realise. We often say, if someone's got an interview, oh, I pray that it goes well. Or someone's going to the doctor, oh, I pray that it goes well at the doctor's. Yeah, we're praying that they get a job, or that the news they hear from the doctor is good, but we need to be looking deeper than the external stuff. What is this meaty stuff that John is praying for? Well, we see it in verse 3. We see it if we were to read the rest of John 3, and also if we look in John 2 as well, we see that how praying that all may go well plays out in practice. We see that we are praying for salvation. We're praying that eyes will be opened to God and that he would be enjoyed. We all need supernatural inner strength and we need to experience the breadth and the length and the height and the depth of God's love to truly know what it means that all may go well. And so this prayer is the most powerful, thoughtful and loving prayers we can pray for others. That they would enjoy God more, that they would enjoy God for the first time. So we're praying for eyes to be open, but we're also, in praying that all may go well, asking God to teach them the wisdom of his will. The how links to the what here. It links to how we pray. Our prayers for each other, they should begin with a growing love for God, yes, but it doesn't settle for that. When we're praying that it may go well, we pray for a spiritual wisdom and understanding too. We're also praying that God gives them a boldness to speak about Jesus. When we pray all may go well in someone's life, we're wanting them to live for Jesus. And when we're praying that their interview goes well, yes, we're praying they get a job. But we're also praying that they demonstrate something of Jesus to that employer. We're praying that if they get the job, they will continue to show what Jesus is like in that workplace. That's what real going well looks like. Not whether they get the job or not. We're also praying for God to send them good friends in the faith. This is one we have definitely seen from COVID. COVID has taught us how much being around godly friends is important. One of the most important prayers we can pray that it may go well is that they have healthy, faithful, godly friends for those we love. How often do you pray for your non-Christian friends to meet godly, faithful Christian friends? How often do you pray that for your family or even for yourself? Godly friends of the faith, they help us when it feels that life is not going well. They're there to encourage us. And also, when we pray for it to go well, we pray for protection against the enemy of our souls. We and those we love will meet resistance and hostility because the devil hates us. Yeah, just like the hostility that Gaius, he gets from people in 3 John later on, if we were to read it, we see it that the reason he is praying that all may go well is remembering Ephesians 6. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over the present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. One of the most effective ways to pray for things to go well is to pray regularly and passionately for others' souls, for others' battles against the devil's schemes. So when we pray all may go well, we're praying for other people, not just ourselves. We are praying for God to open eyes. We are praying that God would teach the wisdom of his will, that we'd walk in a godly manner, that we'd give them, that God would give them boldness to preach the gospel, send them good friends in the faith, protect them. But there's one that John mentions explicitly, which I just want to spend a little time on, and that is good health. One area of John's prayer that he mentions real explicitly is good health. I'm not talking about healing particularly here from sickness, but more to do with being safe and keeping healthy in our daily lives. It said in verse 1 that you may enjoy good health. Unlike most of the others on this list, I've missed one, haven't I? Unlike the rest of them on this list, this one comes with a bit more baggage and sometimes a bit of pain. How can we enjoy good health? So as Christians, first of all, well, even as human beings, we need to be aware that good health is a gift from God that we ask for, not an expected right that we just rule God with. A German philosopher called Joseph Pieper, he said, "Everything gained and everything claimed follows upon something given and comes after something unearned, that in the beginning there is always a gift." The gospel should inform our enjoyment and prayer about health and prosperity. Health isn't something we just order on Amazon and it gets delivered to our door the next day. They don't have it on Amazon yet, I don't think. It's a gift. It's a gift from God. So when we are praying for good health, and I don't think this is just restricted to praying for good health, but other prayer too, there are external and internal gifts from God from this type of praying, this petitionary prayer. The external gift is actual good health. It says in James, God affects the circumstances of history and our lives. That means we should enjoy praying for good health because we can do it confidently. I'm just going to list a few things that the Bible says about these external gifts. That first of all, like I said in James, it said God affects the circumstances of history. Also in James, it says there are many things that he says he will not give or affect until we ask for them. And Ephesians says that when we do ask, he'll give us above and beyond what we've asked for. We know that because one day we'll be with him in eternity. He will not begrudge us no good thing that we ask for. We can pray for good health confidently because he has promised us those things. We have a God who runs the whole universe, and he is our heavenly Father who wants to give us good gifts, those external good health gifts. But there is also the internal gifts of peace. Are the second goal of enjoying and praying for good health is internal. It is through our asks of God that we receive real enjoyment of health, that we enjoy peace and rest in health. Just as we physically go to sleep at night, so we go to sleep, and what we're doing there, we are giving up control. We are giving up control of everything when we go to sleep, and we're trusting God for him to care for our needs, and we're going to wake up in the morning. When we are praying for good health, we're giving up control of our health, and we know that it's a gift from God, so then we just enjoy it like we enjoy our sleep. Doesn't mean that we don't take care of our bodies, but it means that actually we get a peace in praying for good health. We get a peace that where we don't have to fret, we don't have to worry, we don't have to be anxious. We need to be aware that neither the internal nor the external gifts from God, when we pray for good health, should get the upper hand. Because if we do that, we end up living in fear of death, or the opposite. We use prayer for good health as a tool to like force God's hand. And both of those are massively unhealthy, and we don't find enjoyment. The purpose we should have when we are praying for good health should aim to give the soul the same peace spiritually that a good night's sleep gives the body physically. But if we're honest, this morning, I've been saying about praying for things to go well and for good health. In reality, that's not always the case. And I haven't touched on this yet this morning, and we could do a whole preaching series on this. But just want to touch on this just briefly now. Some prayers we ask God can feel like they have been turned down. They can feel like he just said no, and that is shattering. That can be real shattering for people. So why? Why should I pray? Why? What's the point? Can I even pray for that? Are you in a place where you're thinking, I can't even pray for that right now, that all can go well? Why ask for it to go well and be told no? Because Jesus had an unanswered prayer. Jesus is the one who had an unanswered prayer. Look at John says this: I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. John's joy does not come from prayers of prosperity being answered, but in the truth of Jesus. That's where his joy and his satisfaction comes from. Jesus says in Luke 11, which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? There has never been and never will be a parent on earth who wants joy for their children as much as the Father in heaven wants joy for his. You, his child. We know that God is not only a loving Father, but we can see from what he says in Luke 11, he is just. How can he allow us to ask that all may go well for people who don't deserve it? Well, because Jesus got a sting in the venom of death in our place. Hear this: we know God will answer us. It might be a yes, it might be a no, it might be a wait when we are praying, because one terrible day he did not answer Jesus when he called. On the cross, Jesus cried out, my God, and he was forsaken. He wasn't heard. He wasn't listened to. How can that be? Like Jesus, he is the perfect man. He deserved his prayers to be completely answered. He is the only human in history who deserved his prayers to be answered. Yet, he was turned down. How's that? Well, Jesus' prayers were given the rejection that we deserve, so that our prayers would be given the reception that he deserved. We should ask God for things in boldness, with honesty, with diligence, at the same time with a patient submission to God's will and his love for us because of the cross. And Pete, you want to come up? We're gonna take communion in a moment. And I'll put the list back on the screen, the list of what we can pray for when we pray that all may go well. And I just want us to, we're gonna do communion first, and then I want us to pray. And I want us to start off by doing the first thing. I want us to pray for others in a bit. I want us to, and then you can choose the other thing particularly you want to pray for that person. But before we do, let's just fix our eyes on Jesus. Jesus was rejected with his prayers, so that our prayers will be heard and listened to by a loving God. We can pray for good things in our life because Jesus took all the nasty stuff for us. So if you want to stand, let's stand together. We're gonna take communion together. We're gonna take it remembering what Jesus did on the cross together. So do you wanna try and open it? It's a bit fiddly. We're going to take the bread, and this is to remind us that his body was broken so that he would hear our prayers, that he would hear us when we call on his name. So let's take the bread together, and just going to give us a moment as we take it just to remember. I want to close your eyes to help you just to fix on Jesus, to look at him, to remember his body broken for us. And just as we remember his body broken, we remember his blood spilled through the wine, so you can peel off the second layer. Gonna take this together to remember what he did in dying for us, that his blood, it cleanses us, it allows us to be seen as righteous and bring our requests to God. God, we thank you for your body broken. We thank you for your blood spilt. We remember that in doing what we're doing this morning, it's not just a little fun little thing we do. We are remembering corporately together what you have done for us. And that it is ongoing. It's ongoing. That we remind ourselves and remember what you did. And we just want to thank you, God.